This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
The Major League Baseball trade deadline is over, and the Rockies, I'm good with it. Moved a couple of guys, but I mean, Sensatella kind of hurts. But really, I've been clamoring for this all along. Stay the course. And the Rockies agree with me. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not sure. We're getting into football mode, baby. We got the return of Cody Tucker from 7220 Sports. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. No longer in the Mount West with CSU, still in the Mount West. What's life like for the Cowboys? Some interesting stories coming up with Cody. Spencer Smith will join us, DNBR Rockies, to lay it out. His thoughts on the Rockies and what they did or didn't do at the trade deadline. PSL plan for the Broncos. What does it mean and why are you pissed about it? The whole show starts right now. That is called The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. My name is Brady Hull, if you don't know, and I've got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Michael, how you doing, my friend? Good to see you, dude. Good to see you.
It is good to see me.
It is good to see you. Have you looked in the mirror?
And you still agree?
It's good to see you.
I use one of those mirrors that lies. It's a funny mirror that makes you look skinny.
Mm.
I feel great about myself.
Okay, it's probably.
I have no belly anymore.
Those are good to have. Those are good to have on standby. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So the Rockies, Michael, didn't do much. They shipped center fielder Brenton Doyle to the White Sox in exchange for two prospects. I'm not going to tell you. I pretend to know if these guys are going to be worth the damn or not. They sent reliever Antonio Sensatella to the Brewers for two prospects. And a last-minute deal, they moved on from Victor Vodnik. Sent him to the Marlins in exchange for infielder Connor Norby and a prospect. So I don't know. Prospects, you know, guys like Tanner, Schwint, Good Morning NoCo, our guy Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, he'll be able to weigh in more on that. But on the surface, the trades look fine to me. I mean, Brenton Doyle hasn't really been the same since he stormed onto the scene a couple of years ago. And obviously this year we haven't seen him a lot. He was dealing with a lot of injuries. He's still an amazing center fielder, but he was struggling at the bat. And I think, you know, giving a guy like Cole Kerrig the opening to say, okay, this is your spot now, take it and run with it. He's quickly become a fan favorite. I don't have a lot. I wish the best for Brenton Doyle. Killer tattoo, O'Doyle rules, all that stuff, a lot of fun stuff we had for him. But I don't feel any type of particular way about moving on from Brenton Doyle. Antonio Sensatella, that one probably stings a little bit, especially because I think he found his stride as being a bullpen guy or a semi-closer for the Rockies. But still, I didn't want this team to move on from core pieces, and that's Hunter Goodman, that's Jake McCarthy now, Mickey Moniak, and outfielder, utility guy, could play first baseman, Troy Johnston. Those were the four names that I think were popping up a lot as far as trade speculation. And they didn't move those guys. Paul D. Podesta said this: we had a lot of players that were asked about, and we had a set price in mind of what it would take to acquire any of our players. We think we've got a lot of good players here. We think we have the foundation of something that has a chance to be pretty good. So with that understanding, it's kind of like, and good for the Rockies. It sounds like they set the price high. Maybe we would be willing to move on from Hunter Goodman or any of those other guys, Mickey Moniak, but we're going to need something big in return. And it sounds like they maybe didn't get those. So they weren't going to settle. They weren't going to move guys just for the sake of moving guys. And I like the fact that Paul D. Podesta didn't listen to outside noise. That outside noise being, hey, don't be the same old Rockies. Don't hang on to guys too long. Don't be too loyal to those guys. Find a way to move at least a few of them, because the chances are not all of them are going to work out. I like the fact that he kind of stood his ground and said, you know, we're going to ask a lot. And if that's the case, then we'll go for it. But I think this was a good move. I really do. There's a different feel to this Rockies team. And I'm sorry, if you don't agree and you're watching this team on a nightly basis, I know you got smoked last night, but they kind of made it interesting. If you don't see that there's a different feel to this team, whether that's led by Paul D. Podesta in the front office or Warren Schaefer out on the field, then you're kidding yourself. I've been one of the biggest critics of the Rockies over the years. And I've heard people, Brady, you're just telling yourself that the Rockies are fun because you're desperate for good baseball in this area. No, I'm not. There's plenty of things to watch. I got all the Netflixes. I've got all the Disney Pluses and the Amazons, Michael. I've got all of them. I can watch anything I want to.
Yeah, and you have HBO Max, right?
I don't have that. I don't have that. But I do have, like, for example, last night, Rockies game got out of control. I have the History app on my iPad. So I started watching Tom Hanks narrate World War II. Fascinating stuff. So don't tell me I'm desperate for good baseball when I can easily pivot and watch interesting documentaries, nerd stuff like you're interested in, or just hang out with my wife a little bit more. No, I like watching the Rockies because they have a lot of young guys that I'm rooting for. I wasn't able to say this. I used to give Tanner crap. I would, on purpose, I would mispronounce Ezekiel Tovar's name or Brenton Doyle's name just to piss him off because they were terrible and they weren't going anywhere. In the moves they made this offseason with Dick Monfort stepping back and honestly bringing in Paul D. Podesta, so far so good, and retaining Warren Schaefer, I actually find myself realistically enjoying the Rockies.
Anyone who says, oh, the Rockies aren't improving is an outsider, is someone who isn't in the state of Colorado. Like, that person's in New York or Florida or California, and they're just looking at, oh, the Rockies still have a really bad record. Well, they're like second or third worst. But no, they are improving.
And what did you expect? What did you realistically expect this year? That the Rockies would do a complete 180 and they would be a playoff team this year? No. We all said it here on KFKA. Like, the best you could hope for is don't do as badly as you did last year. And I know, you got to want more than that. Well, you also have to be realistic. They have already won more games than they won all of last year. And we have basically two more months of baseball to play.
And hopefully they can win enough to not have 100 losses. So 63. You got to get that. Next mark is 63. Start growing that beard, Brady.
Is that the mark, 63? And that would ensure that they would not have 100 losses?
Yeah, because 162 games.
That's why they pay you the big bucks. That's why they pay you the big bucks. 60. What did you say? 63?
63, yeah.
So they're at 45. Can they win 18 more games in the next 2 months? It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough push.
Yeah, if they, I think they might have to go a little more than 33% of their games. So you're going to have to win a couple more series and get a win out of every series. Don't avoid getting swept. Take some series away from people. You'll have 63 wins. I mean, I think you said 64.
I think I did. That's going to be a push. It's going to be a hell of a push. But they were 43 and 119 last year, Mike. 43 wins. And they're already past that point with 2 months to go. This isn't like, oh, with a couple weeks left, they surpassed what they did a season ago. They are two wins better, actually, at 45 and 68. So I have actually, normally the Dirty 30 was constructed in a way where we could do, we would just have fun watching the Rockies because we're all watching, and most of you are hoping that Tanner and I are going to look like Grizzly Adams. And then once it's done, it's done. And in this case, in the case last year, once it was done, it was like, okay, it is football season now. I could care less about what the Rockies are up to. But I have found myself more often than not on a random whatever night sitting down and watching the Rockies play. And if you tell me, oh, you're just desperate for them to be good, well, I am. But, Michael, I've been doing this show a while now. And for the most part, every year we've done this show, it's fair to say the Rockies haven't been relevant. And I've been fine. Because we talk, we do movie reviews, we have fun conversations about Spider-Man, whatever it is. Michael's day out on the scoot. We can find ways to get around it. So I'm not like needing the Rockies. We got enough. We got anything we can pick. What, take your pick. So we can talk about college sports. We can talk about the Broncos. We can talk about the Nuggets, the Avs, Aaron Rodgers. That's going to be a fun one today, clip of the day. We can talk about a lot of stuff. He sure did.
And good for him.
Good for him. And I'm going to play, we're going to play two portions. I sent you two clips. Did you get both clips? There's one on Fauci.
I got the Fauci
one. Did you get the one from yesterday I sent you about Diana Russini?
Maybe?
I'll double check. But it's fun. It's fun. And good on Pat McAfee being a part of that network to try to be. He was in a. We'll get to it. Bottom line is, I don't need the Rockies to be good. I want the Rockies to be good. But if they're not, it doesn't ruin this show. Doesn't ruin what we're doing on a daily basis.
You have the Nuggets and the Broncos to talk about.
Well, and the Nuggets have had a very roller coaster-esque offseason. Not even really a roller coaster. No ups. Not a lot of ups, Mike. Pretty much all
down.
Yeah,
one of their guys was good in the summer NBA basketball.
Neat. Will he actually play?
I mean, that means a lot, right?
No, it means, well, I pass. Maybe. Could mean something. Trevin Brazil could be a player. He could just be a guy that was pretty good in summer league. I'll be shocked if he gets real playing time this year. That'd be cool, I think. Or it also might mean the Nuggets are in a tough spot. The Avalanche have said goodbye to a couple of really good players this year, in this offseason. So we've had a bunch to talk about. But for the Rockies to be at this point, 45 and 68, with a lot of young talent on this team, come on. I mean, if you can't sit back and enjoy some of the positives that are going on for the Rockies, then I'm just convinced, because look at me. Last year, it was the opposite. I was #sell the team, Dick. Sell the team. Tanner was so pissed off. And he didn't sell the team.
40% of it.
But he took a step back. Was it 40%?
Yeah.
Was it really 40%?
I believe so.
No, he took a step back. Michael's going to double check on that. But he took a step back. You know, Walker Monfort comes in. I didn't know if I loved that, but Walker's, I think he was kind of the guy in charge of hiring Paul DePodesta. And so far, I like what I'm seeing. Yes, Michael.
The Walmarts own a major portion, 40% minority stake.
Yeah, minority stake. So,
I mean, that's a major minorities.
He kind of did step back. I mean, he stepped back in a couple of ways, selling off some control and actually taking a step back on his own accord to let a Walker Monfort step forward and see what he can do in this league. I think he even said it without saying it. I've been around this organization for a long time, and I've seen some of the bad things that have happened, and I've learned from that. So if you can't just enjoy what the Rockies are doing, and you were wanting them to just trade everybody away, unless you get different information than me that says that they were going to get a flat-out haul for Hunter Goodman, then I don't want to hear the negativity. I mean, this is a young baseball team They did move off of a guy that could have continued to be a good bullpen closing pitcher in Antonio Senzatella. They did move off of him. Brenton Doyle is still a very good outfielder. Can't say so much about Victor Vodnik other than the name, and I was rooting for him, but he wasn't great. So they got
fun
some
name,
fun name, but they got some prospects out of this. So 20 minutes after the hour, here is Kyle Freeland was asked. Kyle Freeland was certainly wondering if Sunday's game, where he played a complete game, the first one in his career, he wondered if that was going to be his last game. So it was kind of an emotional game. He ain't going anywhere. Here's what he had to say about his old pal, Antonio Senzatella.
You can tell the amount of work that he put in this offseason, changing things up, going finding help to get him back to the pitcher that he wants to be in. And he's able to prove that throughout the course of the season so far. And now he gets to go deal with some very meaningful baseball ahead.
There's a part of like Freeland's like, yeah, he gets to get out of here and he gets to go do it and play some meaningful baseball. I always worried about this, though. Watch the Rockies go on a tear this back portion of the season and make us really feel good and get into the high 60s even. And then we have a lockout. Like, that sounds like it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be a year. I don't know if it's going to be a full year. I don't know if it's going to be 2 years. But a lockout is going to happen. It's a terrible thing for your sport. 21 minutes after the hour.
What are we
going to
do next summer then?
Get ready for more movie reviews, Mike.
3 movie reviews a day.
Pretty much just movie reviews all day. We just review movies.
And all of those movies are on HBO Max.
No, they'll be all of my choosing. And it's not even going to just be sports movies. It's just going to be random movies that I choose to make you watch.
Rudy every week.
Like Titanic.
How about we do 2001 A Space Odyssey?
I'm going to have you watch Titanic.
I have not. I like the composer, though.
You've never seen the movie Titanic? Are you a person?
No, but James, I've listened to the original score.
Who James nobody cares about James. Whatever that is. It's not sports. There's no score in it. It's either music or it's not. Score is a touchdown.
Original
or a
score.
2-point conversion. Or a 3-pointer. Or a dunk. That's a score, Michael. 22 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia. That's some interesting things to say. We might play that if we have time. Also, Cody Tucker going to join us. 7220sports.com. How are the Cowboys doing? What's that team look like? We'll get Cody's thoughts coming up here a little bit later. We're in football mode, Michael. And it's a great time to be alive. Keep it here. Great time to be a hooligan as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Teams, no parades.
No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA for the latest.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos just posted this, Michael. Hold your breath, okay? Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down right now?
No, but I will.
Okay, sit down right now.
Hang on. All right, I'm sitting down now.
Okay. Nick Benito slowly limped off the field with trainers after going down on during Broncos training camp. Today, this morning. Not good news, is what he writes. Wishing the best for Nick. We'll have to keep our eyes on that. Sometimes it's those, like, they slowly limp off, and you're like, oh, they're probably fine. And then you hear not
they
fine.
They tore something.
Let's knock on wood or something. Do you have a lucky rabbit's foot back there, Mike?
I have a lucky Denver Broncos hat, but it's at home.
The one you're wearing right now is unlucky, then?
No, it's one of my normal ones, but it's not the lucky one.
So we'll monitor that as much as we possibly can. Kirby Smart, Michael. This was shared by Josh Chambers. Was talking about the transfer portal window and how it kind of works. I don't know what to make of this. Here's the head coach of Georgia talking a little, I don't know, the latest on the NCAA and just the nature of the beast.
Exactly what I'm telling you. I'm also telling you the sanity of knowing that now it's you coaching against me and me coaching against you. Who makes their players better? That's what the word coach is. Like, it derived from stagecoach, where you took somebody from one place to the other. So, like, where are you taking your players instead of shipping them off and importing them? And to be honest, we did a big study on a lot of the portal exchanges in the second portal, and there was very little effective movement, meaning I call it swap and spit. You just took somebody else's two or three, and they took your two or three, and then you traded, and all you got was a new person. You didn't necessarily get somebody that – now, there's guys that maybe made an impact. People can go out and say, well, he's wrong. They had two or three people that made these huge impacts, and look at the totality of who moved. Okay, I'm going to tell you now, in our study, over 80% of the people had no impact. So all they were doing is moving to move. They were just moving to move. And we're like, let's make our players better. And let's say the ones we lifted and practiced all last winter, that they're ours now. And they're better now because they stayed here.
All right, for a couple things there. I just wanted to research. Coach is actually derived from Koch. K-O-C-S, a 15th century Hungarian village famous for making a superior type of horse-drawn carriage called a Kocsiziker. 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 So he's not that far off. It's a wagon kind of thing. Stagecoach. So pretty good. We give him an A for that. A for effort. Also, swapping spit is kissing, though. So I don't know if I want to compare one player entering the portal going to your team, and then your player entering the portal and going to your opposing, you know, to the other team. I don't want to say swapping spit there. I'm going to be careful.
I think
that.
His comment on 80% not, you know,
over 80% of the people had no impact,
I think is probably pretty accurate.
I think a lot of what he said is accurate. Yeah,
Washington got Michael Penix Jr. from Indiana. He helped out a lot. But how many other players are like offensive linemen, or I'm not starting in this college, so I'm going to go to Texas, and they're not starting there either. It's at some point, athletes need to know, is
you can't
it
just keep
me
swapping,
or is it everybody else?
And I think that's kind of the point is, hey, let's say the ones we lifted and practiced with all last winter, they are ours now, and they're better now because they stayed here. And there's a lot to be said for that. 30 minutes after the hour, catching up with 7220's Cody Tucker. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Big year coming up for Jay Sovell and those Cowpokes. We'll catch up with Cody coming up next, but first let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Joining me now, making his triumphant return to The Whole Show, our Wyoming Cowboys insider from 7220sports.com, the one and only Cody Tucker. Cody, my man, great to get you back on the show, my friend.
It's good to hear that voice again, Brady. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, you know what? Likewise, you've got the voice, my friend. You have the voice. My listeners love it, and even if they're not Cowboys fans, you tell it like it is, and I think people really come to appreciate that.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of Coors and sleepless nights that have gone down this throat. A lot of Copenhagen. It must have done the trick.
Well, maybe you'll be doing those kind of things like in celebration this year for the Cowboys instead of being stressed about this Cowboys football team. What are you hearing about this? Obviously, new look because it's a different Mountain West. It's a different day, and I'm telling you that border war to me, there's going to be more sports hate than ever before in this upcoming game.
Yeah, you know, and I keep saying this every time I'm asked, but I mean, I think it's just so true, Brady, is Wyoming has had historically hideous quarterback play the last 2 years, and there's no other way to put it, man. And if your most important position is not producing, and it's, you know, a detriment in so many ways, you're in trouble. And if you want to look at it glass half full, the Cowboys have been a play here and there away from being bowl eligible the last 2 years,
yeah.
believe it or not.
Yeah.
Even, you know, the defense was that good last year that they almost overcame an offense that averaged 16 points a game. And, you know, now with Tyler Hughes under center, you have to feel really good about this kid. He accounted for 31 touchdowns last year, 20 through the air, 11 on the ground. He just – I spoke to him at Mountain West Media Days a couple weeks ago, more in-depth than I ever had. And this kid's just got it. He's got the moxie. He's got the leadership. You know, his teammates all tell me, boy, he's not afraid to call you out. And that's what they've needed. Because think about it, Brady, too. It's hard, man, when you're – when you're a quarterback, and I'm not trying to just dump on Caden Anderson and Evan Sabota for sure, but, you know, when you're not producing and you're not doing well on the field, how effective of a leader can you really be? It's pretty hard to tell somebody to do their job when you can't do yours.
Oh, no question. I mean, when you have a guy that's finding his own struggles, how are you supposed to really be that leader on and off the field and without guys just looking at you like, dude, get your own thing together before you start talking to us, man?
Yeah. Exactly, and that's a big thing that I don't think the average Joe thinks about. It is very tough to be in a leadership position if you are not pulling your own weight. And the bottom line is the quarterback play has just been – it hasn't been good. You know, and to think, man, it's still hard to believe, and I think a lot of Wyoming fans would agree here, how much crap Andrew Peasley used to get. Boy, what they would give for an Andrew Peasley type of performance out of Tyler Hughes this offseason – or this season. And honestly, Tyler Hughes has way more tools in his belt. And obviously working with Christian Taylor, a guy who brought him to William & Mary 4 years ago, now is the Cowboys play caller. So those two are already sharing a brain. They know the vision. They know what they want to accomplish. And the goal here is to – it's a lofty one, Brady, but, you know, the goal here is to look a lot like Devin Dampier led offense at Utah or New Mexico and really have him be – the mobile guy who can throw it, can run it, can make your life a living hell from sideline to sideline.
That's my favorite thing. I mean, I'm a guy, I can appreciate every style of football. I can appreciate what Air Force does. I can appreciate air raid. I can appreciate all those styles, but man, favorite thing to watch is when you get a quarterback that runs on purpose. And that sounds like what the Cowboys are trying to manufacture over there in Wyoming.
Yeah, man, they just didn't have it last year. Caden Anderson, his long run of the year was 9 yards when that came in the opener against Akron, and it was just painfully obvious that, you know, he obviously has had two ACLs in his past, and last year he avoided the injury question like the plague, but, I mean, something had to be going on with him, and he was a sitting duck back there, man. I think he finished with, like, minus 39 rushing yards on the year. He was no threat to move whatsoever. And then the year prior to that, you have Evan Sabota, God bless him, you know, a Cowboy through and through who could have and should have left and didn't. And he was off target all year, but he was the only guy in the backfield that could pick you up any yards on the ground. So they really hopefully put this thing together here because – nobody's more pissed off than Jay Sauvel about the 16 points a game thing. And honestly, the 16 points is inflated. They had two touchdowns returned, or two interceptions returned for touchdowns and a punt returned for a touchdown. That offense did not average 16 points a game.
Cody, what do you make of this? What do you make of Jay Sauvel so far? Obviously, when he became the head coach, we looked at it and said, okay, this is a guy that gets defense. He's going to be the defensive guy, but maybe have a few wrinkles on the offensive side. Well, defense is held pretty true. I mean, like you said, defense kept them in a lot of games. They were very, very good, but they just didn't get really much of it. You talked about the quarterback position, but really much of anything consistently from the offensive side of the ball.
No, and Jay's first message to the media after the season was, I'm taking a blowtorch to this offense. And it started with the firing of Jay Johnson in late October, right before that Colorado State game. Then they come out and win 28-0 in that game. Second shutout pitched by the defense on the season. I mean, that is so rare in today's age where you're pitching two shutouts in a year, and especially against your rival. So they did everything they could. And that was a makeshift defense that he put together, you know, with duct tape in the off season with an NIL budget that just was not up to par. So he got a lot out of that. But now it's time to focus on that offense. He thinks this defense, even though they lost a lot of players, he thinks this could be the best defense he's had since he's been here, which is saying a lot because he's been here since 2020. And as you alluded to, was the defensive coordinator. So they've got to get the offense fixed. They got to get back to getting a consistent 1,000-yard rusher, which they believe Tote Harris can absolutely be this year. and also brought in Markell Holman, and they are really excited about him as well. But they have got to find some balance. They have got to be a threat. You know, he says it all the time. I don't think it's too much to ask to get a touchdown a quarter, to average one touchdown a quarter. That's 28 points, and that's got to happen. They haven't scored more than 21 points in, I want to say, 72% of his 72% of the games he's coached, and that's just never going to get it done.
What kind of pressure is there on Jay Sauvell heading? What is this, Cody? Are we going into year three already?
Three. You know, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, there's a ton of pressure. I tell you what, right now, and maybe because it's just camp gets underway tomorrow and we're not ramped up yet, that's what kind of sucks about playing Colorado State right off the bat, right? I mean, if they go into Fort Collins and don't win, the pressure is going to ramp up huge. If they go into Fort Collins and it doesn't look right and they lose, then it's going to be a real problem. So right now, I think it's, you know, Jay does all the right things. He recruits really well. He brings in guys in the portal. He had a lot more money to work with this year. He's revamping the offense. Now it's time to produce. So that game, if they don't win in Fort Collins, it better look right. It better be something like 45-42, even though that doesn't sound good for the defense, of course. But it better look right offensively, or then it's really going to ramp up. But it's hard. Jay is such a good dude, and he's doing all the right stuff. He's recruiting so well, and it's still a development program, and the players love him to death. And, you know, once again, he didn't get killed by the portal. He's doing all those things right. It's just, it's got to start translating.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Interesting piece by you on well, basically this 5-for-5 stuff, 5-and-5 or whatever we're calling it. There's a couple of players specifically that you're writing about Coach Sauvell being open to bringing back. Fascinating story on this, the lawsuit, everything, because our guy, you know, former UNC Bears basketball player Brock Wisney, was kind of at the forefront of this lawsuit. Yep. It's amazing to see that dude we sat down with, the most, like, one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, is a part of this crazy lawsuit that kind of took the college world by storm.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I mean, but that's all it takes is one, right? Diego Pavia started the whole ball rolling and got all kinds of guys an extra year that started their career at JUCO. So
yeah,
it is what it is. You know, I talked to Dansus Miller, a cornerback, yesterday, and who could potentially come back. And he just says, man, I just want to play. And, you know, he knows he's not going to step in and be a starter again. He knows that he missed an entire offseason. But, man, you know, it's just a glimmer of hope for these guys that their football career is not over. And what blows my mind that's lost in all this, Brady, in the class of 2022 is the only one that's eligible for this. There's two dudes, that's all, that are left on this roster, and neither one of them, him or Braden Johnson, started their career at Wyoming.
Wow.
That is phenomenal to me that there's only two eligible guys from a class 4 years ago.
It is insane, and you kind of look around the country, too, and it's not like there's this amazing long list of guys that actually fit that bill.
No, there's not. There really isn't, and I thought at first, like, holy cow, there's only two, and then I started looking, and, you know, Boise State only has two. You know, these other schools only have two, and you're like, well, you find out in a hurry it's not just a Wyoming or a Mountain West problem.
No, it's kind of all over the place. What do you make of everything, man? I mean, I haven't caught up with you in a while, Cody, but there's just something new every single day. And I'll admit, I'm very interested in the business of the NCAA, and it's fascinating to me. But there's a point here, and I think I finally reached it last night looking at stuff. It's a different change, a different order every single day. I'm starting to get a little annoyed with everything, to be honest with you, man.
You're not alone. Last time I spoke with Jay Sauvell at Mountain West Media Days on the record, he said, you know, can we just coach some football, please? Can we just play some football? Like, please. I mean, nowadays these coaches are GMs and the whole nine, and it becomes more crystal clear to me every day, Brady, why Craig Bull got out when he did. He is just – there is no way Craig Bull is going to deal with all this extra crap that goes on. These old school coaches are bowing out left and right because they're just – they're not dealing with it. And I don't blame him. I mean, Jay's not only doing the GM stuff as far as roster building and all that, he's even dealing with the money part of it and who gets what and who, and he talks to agents. And it's just, I can't even imagine. It's like,
no.
If that guy could just focus on football, you know, maybe things would be going better. But it's not a Jay Sauvell issue. It's not a Wyoming issue. Everybody's dealing with it.
Cody Tucker with us, 7220sports.com. Cody, I, for one, as a fan, and I like covering and following both of these teams, CSU and Wyoming, I think this border war, to me, is going to have the most juice yet, because if I'm Wyoming, I'm thinking, oh, you think you're too good? You left. You went to the Pac-12. We'll see how that goes. And if I'm CSU, I got a lot to prove being in this conference we wanted to be in for so long, and albeit it's a different type of conference than they thought. But don't you think, man? That, I mean, from your side of it, does it seem like this one has a little more juice than normal?
Maybe, but like I was talking to Mike off air, it's just kind of, you know, the cat's been out of the bag for a long time, so it's not like this is something that shocked anybody. And I got to tell you, Brady, in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, it was a huge breath of fresh air to not have these guys. And that's nothing, it's so weird to say that, because it's really nothing against CSU or their players or their coaches, and same with San Diego State, Boise State, et cetera. But we got to talk to North Dakota State, UTEP, and Northern Illinois, and these teams and their coaches are stoked about being in the Mountain West Conference. And it was such a breath of fresh air to see people that didn't you didn't look at them and go, oh, they know they're too good. They think they're too good. These guys were like, man, I'm so excited to be here. I can't wait to form some new rivalries and travel to these new places. So that was really cool. But yeah, this matchup's really bizarre. And, you know, in speaking to Jay about it, you know, what do you do? Just watch a bunch of UConn film? I mean,
right,
you have 60, 70 new guys, so you don't really know what to expect out of them. And, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say that in a lot of ways, Wyoming's been a quarterback short from really competing the last few years. And they really feel like they have that guy now. So, and believe me, he's already been indoctrinated. Tyler Hughes absolutely knows what's on the line here in Fort Collins and already hates them. So, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be weird. This will be the first really warm border war ever. It's weird to play there right off the bat opening day. But I think the animosity of them going to the Pac-12 is over. I think it's just going to get down to the nut cut, and we want to beat the shit out of our rivals. Pardon my French. Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, Cody, you know what? It's first day back. First day jitters for you, and you're just throwing it out there at us. We got to love it, man. That's what we sign up for, bringing Cody Tucker, you know, pretty much the original cowboy here on the show. That's what we sign up for. We know what we're getting into.
Yeah, you got to put explicit content on my CD for sure. I'm at the park in Laramie right now watching my daughter run amok, so that's also kind of stressing me out.
Hey, you got to get back to that little one, man. Cody, always appreciate it, man, and the insight, and I can't wait to get you back on the show, especially once we get the season rolling here, to follow these storylines, because I'm in it, man. Mountain West, Pac-12. I just got more conferences to pay attention to now, and then that'll be fun. So yay.
Yep. I just want to let you know right now, I don't have any money for your FCC fine, so I hope your boss will be too.
Michael got the hookup. He got the drop back there, man. We have a little dump button back there, and Michael, you should have seen him. That was the fastest I've ever seen him move, but that's what happens when you have a professional back there running the board.
I love it.
We're going to punish you by making you wear a CSU jersey.
Did you hear that?
Oh, God. Yeah, no.
Well, you have to walk in downtown Cheyenne.
Hey, Cody and I have had a couple of beers together in Wyoming, and I've seen some people walk around with Rams jerseys, and I looked at Cody, I'm like, is it safe, man? Is it safe to do that here?
No, it's not. And now I live in Laramie. I just moved to Laramie, so I'm really in the belly of the beast now.
So don't be walking around with that green and gold, man. No. Cody, appreciate you as always, bro, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, fellas. Have a great day.
All right, man. You too. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Welcome back, Cody. Why don't you come on? You've been on the rate. He's been on this show how many times, Michael? How many times? Many, many times. And he finally did it. I mean, to be honest, of all of our guests, don't you kind of expect it to come from Cody?
I mean, he does have that attitude. I just hope he doesn't root. He's not one of those Josh Allen Wyoming people, is he?
You mean they
roots for Josh Allen, roots for the Bills because of that one guy that went to their
school? I can tell you he's not a Broncos fan. I don't know if he's actually a big NFL fan, but I think he probably does root a little bit for Josh Allen, which good on Wyoming. Why wouldn't you? You want them to adopt the Broncos? The Broncos aren't in their state.
We're right here. We're right next to them.
Denver thinks they're better than Wyoming, Michael. Come on. And that's not right. That's not right.
Colorado is better than Wyoming.
Wyoming is amazing. Like,
they both
I grew up
do
in Eastern
have some
Colorado.
Amazing things about them. I went to Wyoming once, and it was very pretty.
I grew up in Eastern Colorado. Eastern Colorado is basically Wyoming. Well, county sure feels a lot like Wyoming. There's a lot of wind in eastern
less
Colorado,
mountains.
Michael. Your face is a lot less mountains.
Isn't Laramie a lot higher than Fort Collins?
Yeah.
I think Laramie and Mexico City are both kind of like deceptively high.
You're deceptively high. Let's take a quick break here. We'll wrap up hour number one. Top stories of the day. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, will join us later. He'll break it down for us. How did he feel about the Rockies? I suppose to many, uninspiring moves at the trade deadline. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Two teams, no parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
Hi, this is Nuggets insider Chris Dempsey, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, that's a good point, Cullahoma. I think Cody's 7220 is the Laramie elevation. So, yeah, it would be higher. Yeah, we got it, Mike.
I drink and I know things.
Yeah,
the worst line from Game of Thrones.
But you did ask the question. You did ask the question. And we should have probably just put two and two together. It's the worst line from Game of Thrones, but it's also like one of the most famous lines from Game of Thrones. So is it really that bad?
Yeah, kind
of. All right, top stories of the day coming up next. Spencer Smith will join us to talk some Rockies. Keep it here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.